Storytel presents The Secret by Margit Sandemo, Part 26 in the Legend of the Ice People series. Narrated by me, Nina Indis. The legend of the Ice People begins many centuries ago with Tengil the Evil. He was ruthless and greedy, and there was only one way to get everything that he wanted. He had to make a pact with the devil. He traveled far into the wilderness and summoned the devil with a magic potion that he had brewed in a pot. Tengil the Evil gained unlimited wealth and power, but in exchange, he cursed his own family. One of his descendants in every generation would serve the devil with evil deeds. When it was done, Tengil buried the pot. If anyone found it, the curse would be broken. So the curse was passed down through Tengil's descendants, the Ice People. One person in every generation was born with yellow cat's eyes, a sign of the curse and magical powers which they used to serve the devil. One day, the most powerful of all the cursed Ice People would be born. This is what the legend says. Nobody knows whether it is true. But in the 16th century, a cursed child of the Ice People was born. He tried to turn evil into good, which is why they called him Tengil the Good. This legend is about his family. Actually, it is mostly about the women in his family, the women who held the fate of the Ice People in their hands. Chapter 1. He sat high on a ridge, crouched like a predatory beast, looking down on the village tucked under the high mountains at the farthest end of the fjord. He was a frightening figure, dark, twisted, and bent. Perhaps he looked most like a wisp of hair that blended with the natural world. If it hadn't been for his eyes, which glowed treacherously with hatred and the anticipation of revenge, no one would have believed that he was a human being. Occasionally, those eyes could glint almost red, as if an inner dark fire of hatred and nothing else kept him going. He waited. He looked down on the tiny creatures down there. From his vantage point, they looked like ants. "They're moving in," he whispered. "They're moving into my house, a man and a woman. How dare they? What are they doing now?" He got to his feet. His pent-up anger abated slightly as he observed what they were doing down there. What was happening now? Weren't they going to move in after all? Strangely, he felt immense disappointment. Didn't anybody want to move in? Weren't there any presumptuous invaders of his house that he could take revenge on? Once again, he crouched down on his heels with his long arms around his knees, a brooding colossus like a mountain troll that had sat there for 1,000 years. Down by the fjord, the middle-aged couple were speaking to the man who lived in the valley. "What an exceptionally handsome man," the wife thought. "He's so good-looking that he frightens me." She couldn't take her eyes off him. Dark, curly hair, light blue-gray eyes, and a mouth that you couldn't take your eyes off. Perfect, arrogant, and alluring. A male animal, handsome, but dangerous. He handed a bunch of keys to her husband.
"I'd like to welcome you to Jolinsborg," he said, with a bright smile that made her go weak at the knees. "I hope you'll feel at home here."
"I'm sure we will," she replied. "My husband's doctor prescribed fresh country air, so this will be perfect."
Her husband, who, judging by his appearance, was a businessman not quite out of the top drawer, said with a creaky voice,
"I see this place is called Jolinsborg. I thought it was Jolin."
The young man replied with a smile,
"No, it's nothing to do with the surname. Jolin is an old Norwegian boy's name. All the owners of this farm have been given the name from the first Jolin who built the place in the 17th century right up until the present."
"And now there's nobody left?" the woman asked.
The peasant looked down.